Avi Ben Mordechai here. Shalom. You're tuned in to Real Israel Talk Radio. This is podcast episode 135, and this is part 22, an analysis of Yeshua's last Passover week timeline of events involving his third day resurrection. In our previous analysis, podcast episode 134 and program series part 21, I walked you through Yeshua's crucifixion paradigm. Now I would like to take a look at event number 27 and speak about what is called first fruits and Yeshua's 40th day ascension based on the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3. As I've mentioned in many previous programs, we know from historical accounts that there were two calendar timelines operational during the years of Yeshua's Second Temple period life. Those two timelines are the Pharisaic and the House of Tzedok priestly calendars. Now, the Pharisaic and Sadducean traditional sighted moon timeline, this is defined as one day always advancing to the next day, beginning with the previous sunset. The House of Tzedok priestly calculated Seven's solar calendar, as we could probably call it. This is defined as one day always advancing to the next day, beginning with the morning sunrise of that very day. Recall from my previous study, according to Matthew 28:1, Mark 16:1-2, Luke 24:1, and John 20:1. There are women who came to the tomb of Yeshua, and it was early in the morning. Now, according to these texts, we can learn the following. It was late on a weekly Sabbath, understood as a Saturday sunrise to a Sunday sunrise, this reckoning based on the priestly House of Tzedok teaching. Also, we learn from these passages that it was late on the second of two back-to-back Sabbaths. Number one, belonging to the first day of unleavened bread, and number two, belonging to the regular weekly seventh-day Sabbath. And from these passages, we also learn that it was early before the first day of the week and the morning dawn, which was also number one of seven weekly Sabbaths according to Pharisaic theological calculations. Again, these are Pharisaical calculations, not calculations based on the House of Tzedok. Recall also from the evidence that I presented from my earlier programs that Yeshua's third day resurrection happened on the 18th day of the first Chodesh, or what we would call the first month in the Hebrew Scriptures. And this is according to Exodus 12, verse 2, when read and understood by the Kohanim of the House of Tzedok. Here, the Hebrew text reads as follows: HaChodesh hazeh lechem rosh chodeshim rishon hu lechem lechodshei hashanah. Permit me to put this into an English translation, which would tell us the following. This very Chodesh is to all of you the head of the Chodeshim, or months. He is number one of those months to all of you, for or even you could say toward, the chodeshim, or months of the year. In summary, Yeshua's third day resurrection took place on the Sabbath of the 18th day of the first biblical month, which was understood according to the reckoning of the priestly house of Tzedok theological sevens calendar. Conversely, it is also understood that Yeshua's resurrection could not have possibly happened on the 16th of the first month, which was according to the Pharisaic day of the Omer, first fruits wave offering, as they would refer to it. Now you might ask, well, why not on the 16th? That's what the Pharisees were doing. And my answer is because the gospel narratives tell us that the women arrived at the tomb late on a regular weekly Sabbath, just prior to sunrise on the first day of the week, or what is called Sunday in Western Roman culture. All in all, this tells me that Yeshua's third day resurrection occurred sometime during the darkness of the seventh day weekly Sabbath, likely between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, under the cover of nighttime, or what we would call in Western Roman culture, midnight, because the way I would describe it is midnight, that is, the mid hours of the night or the darkness, not necessarily midnight, as we would understand the term in Western culture, meaning 12 o'clock. So there's actually about a 4-hour span of time between 10 and 2 when Yeshua's resurrection likely took place. I can't tell you exactly when. I would simply be speculating on that matter. Let's now go on to examine the biblical terminology that is often called first fruits, or the Bikurim offering, which is far too often a concept confused with another similar ceremony that is called the Omer wave offering, which is more accurately referred to in biblical parlance as the waving of the Omer, or simply in Hebrew, Reshit Katsir. Again, Reshit Katsir, which can be understood as the harvest of the first cutting. Now, I am referring to these ideas and speaking of them rather slowly and methodically so that you can follow along here and not find yourself absolutely dazed and confused with all of these numbers getting thrown at you. I'm trying to really drive all of this home, and I hope that you can follow along with me. Now, based on the teachings of the House of the Religious Separatists, that is, the Pharisees, the 16th day of the first month was understood to be, quote, the morrow of the Sabbath, referring to the Sabbath of the first day of unleavened bread, or the first day of matzah, if you would like to call it by that. And this is according to the Torah at Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Follow along with me, please. And you shall count to yourselves from the morrow of the Sabbath, from the gathering in of your harvest, an omer, 7 Sabbaths complete. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then you shall offer a new grain offering to Yehovah. Each year, on the 16th of the first Chodesh, or the first month, which is always the next day after the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the house of the Pharisee separatists were determined to do what is often called a first fruits barley wave offering in the temple precincts. So based on this, here are a couple of points that I would like to make very clearly. First, let's take a look at the thoughts and the theology that comes from the Pharisees. If the 16th day of the first month fell on a seventh day weekly Sabbath, then what? It would simply mean that the 16th day of that month, being a Sabbath, was therefore counted as Sabbath number one of seven complete Sabbaths, concluding with the festival called Shavuot or Pentecost. Now, this particular festival is determined by the counting of seven complete Sabbaths and also 50 days, the waving of a sheaf of barley, referred to as an omer, cut from a local field on the 16th day of the first month. And according to Jewish halakha, that cutting would take place on the evening before that Sabbath. That's if the 16th fell on a Sabbath. That sheaf would be cut on what we would call a Friday night, or a Friday just around sunset. And they had a lot of fanfare that followed that whole event. But because it was approaching the regular weekly Sabbath when they were doing that cutting, therefore, we could kind of say it was like a skeleton crew out there. They didn't have everybody out there, but it was permitted by Jewish law when you had to cut back on your workers and all of the people that would have to do the cutting. That's all. Now, let's go on to a second point, and that is that if the 16th of the first month did not fall on the seventh day weekly Sabbath, if it was, say, during the week sometime, well, what then? The religious Pharisees still would have waved an omer of barley on the 16th, on the day after the first day of unleavened bread, or the first day of matzah, okay? They would wave it then. And then from that point, they would have gone on to count 50 days of harvesting the grain of the fields. But in addition, they had to fulfill a secondary command of Yehovah by counting seven weekly Sabbaths according to Leviticus 23:15-16. But again, I must stress that if the 16th of the first month did not fall on the seventh day weekly Sabbath, then they waited until the arrival of the very next seventh day weekly Sabbath, during which was the festival of unleavened bread. And then on that next Sabbath during that week, they began to count seven weekly Sabbaths complete. Therefore, together with 50 days of counting the Omer and the counting of seven weekly Sabbaths, all of Israel stopped to observe the festival of weeks, in Hebrew, Shavuot, or in Greek and English, Pentecost. All this said, let's now go on to look at the biblical Hebrew priestly teachings and how Yeshua's third day resurrection played out as it was observed by the house of Tzadok at a time when they performed their waving of the Omer, because it was in fact very different compared to the Pharisaic approach to understanding Leviticus 23:15 through 16. And we should always remember that the house of Tzedok priesthood had divine authority to determine the date of every ceremony involving the Moedim in order to lead all Israel unto Jehovah. And we know this from Scripture, because this truth is discovered in Ezekiel 44:23-24. Again, Ezekiel 44:23-24. It is understood from the fulfillment of all of the events that transpired during Yeshua's last Passover week. His resurrection was not, I repeat, his resurrection was not a first fruits wave offering based on the Pharisaic interpretations of Scripture. Yes, it was a first fruits waving, but again, not according to the Pharisaic interpretations. Rather, Yeshua's third day resurrection was a first fruits waving based on the house of Tzedok interpretations of Scripture. And this is really important to understand. Principally, this means that Yeshua's third day resurrection was like a wave sheaf of wheat grain, not barley. But the question is, on what day did Yeshua start the divine command to count 50 days of the Omer and 7 weekly Sabbaths? Yes, what day did it start? According to the reckoning of the house of Tzedok, Yeshua's third day resurrection took place on the 18th day of the first Chodesh, or the first month. And that would have been a Shabbat, or what we would call in today's culture, a Saturday. Then, with the passing of 7 additional days on the 26th day of the first month, which always falls on what the world calls Sunday in today's culture of time reckoning, on that day, the house of Tzedok decreed that that very day, I'm referring to the 26th day of the first month, it was that day that they were to perform the action of waving a sheaf of wheat grain in front of Jehovah. That's right. The true priests of the biblical house of Israel, all of Israel, waved a freshly cut sheaf of wheat, measuring an omer, and not a sheaf of barley measuring an omer. And they did this waving of a sheaf of wheat on the 26th day of the first month, but never did they do it on the 16th day of the first month. They just didn't. They called the 26th day of the first month day one of the counting of the Omer. And in fact, Moses referred to this waving of an Omer of a sheaf of grain, again, wheat, not barley, as a first cutting, or you could say it in Hebrew as reshit katsir, reshit katsir. Then, with the passing of 7 more days following the 26th day of the first month, again, another 7 days even after that, the house of Tzedok then declared the Sabbath of the second day of the second month as number 1 of seven complete Sabbaths to be counted. And that whole event of counting concluded with what the Bible calls Shavuot or Pentecost. Every year, on the 26th day of the first month, or what is called day one of 50 days in the counting of the Omer, according to the house of Tzedok, it was to remember Yeshua's third day resurrection on the 18th day of the first month. This is why day one of counting the Omer is called, quote, a new grain offering to Yehovah. The new grain, and that again of wheat, not barley, was to teach us to recall the springing forth of new life from a descent into death. And this is what Yeshua taught concerning death and resurrection when he said, according to Yohanan or John 12:24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, he or it produces much grain. Later, it was Paul who also explained in his own unique way Yeshua's first ascension, or what we could call his third day sprouting up from the ground, saying in 1 Corinthians 15:36 through 37, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other. So every year it is the sheaf of new grain from the land that was supposed to represent resurrection life based on the first cutting of new grain for our food and our sustenance, all coming from the ground of Eretz Israel, in Hebrew, Reshit Katsir. And all of this is a memorializing of the event year after year. We can say that it comes to represent the work and the memory of Yeshua's third day resurrection, who said, after his third day resurrection, on the 18th day of the first month, when he spoke to Miriam, saying in John 20, verses 16 through 17, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my Elohim and your Elohim. I would understand this as memorializing the waving of the body of Messiah in front of Yehovah. It is this concept of Yeshua's three-day ascension and a waving of what he accomplished in that 3 days in the earth, going on between the fifth day and the seventh day of the week, or what we would call in our culture today, a Thursday through a Shabbat. It all mirrors the creation week story in Genesis 1, 11 through 13. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But first, I got to take a break here, and then we'll be back. Yah willing, stay with us. I'll come back in just a moment. This is Avi Ben-Mordechai, and you're listening to Real Israel Talk Radio. Welcome back to Real Israel Talk Radio. I'm Avi Ben-Mordechai. Let's continue where we left off just before our break. I had quoted for you a passage from John chapter 20, verses 16 through 17. After Yeshua's resurrection, he appeared to Miriam, and because she was so shocked at what she was looking at, she immediately ran over to him and attempted to grab him and hold on to him. But Yeshua said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my Elohim and your Elohim." And I was discussing the idea that this event of Yeshua's 3 days in the grave and then arising in an ascension, that this was all part of a larger picture of Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 16, meaning the waving of a grain of wheat that comes back from the ground. But the waving process of this wave sheaf actually doesn't take place for another week. But it doesn't matter whether it's occurring on that exact day or if it's occurring a week later. Not in my understanding. The fact that it's occurring is what is important to this story. And as I look at the story, it is important to understand the fact that it did happen, not necessarily on the exact day that it happened, although that too is important in the overall story. Follow with me and I will explain. So Yeshua's third day ascension occurred between the fifth day of the week and the seventh day of the week, or what could be called in today's Western culture as Thursday through Saturday, or Thursday through Shabbat. And that event would have mirrored the creation week story in Genesis 1, 11 through 13. Then Elohim said, "Let the earth bring forth grass. The herb yields seed. The fruit tree yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. The herb yields seed according to its kind, and the tree yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So here you can see the correlation between Yeshua's third day resurrection and the third day of the creation week, with the green grass and the herb coming up from out of the ground, or sprouting up out of the ground. After Yeshua modeled the events of his resurrection and ascension according to the book of Genesis and the book of Leviticus, and as understood by the priests of the house of Tzedok and their interpretations of Scripture, what happened next? Well, according to the book of Acts, he gave his disciples the following instructions. This is Acts 1, 4 through 9. Follow along with me, please. "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard from me. For John truly immersed with water, but you shall be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh," understood to be the Holy Spirit, "not many days from now." That is an important statement he said. Not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Master, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, this idea of times and seasons is a reference to what the house of Tzedok and the Qumran priesthood called the divisions of times and the divine appointments of seasons, or Moedim. And we know this actually because it's mentioned very specifically in this way in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so Yeshua goes on to say that it was not for his disciples to know these times and seasons of restoring the kingdom of Israel at that exact time or moment, because the timing is according to Jehovah's own authority, which he vested in the house of Tzedok priesthood, according to Ezekiel 44, verses 15 through 16, and Ezekiel 44, 23 through 24. Then Yeshua goes on to say, But you shall receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, mentioned in Acts 1, 4 through 9, it says, While they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Again, let me make it very clear that when Yeshua said to his disciples, It is not for you to know times, referring to the divisions of times, or seasons, referring to the divine appointments, which the Father had put into his own authority. Specifically, he was referring to the Hebraic concept of knowing something by experiencing the actual event. So, what was Yeshua speaking of that they should know or not know? It appears to me that he was speaking of experientially knowing right now, at that time when they were asking him about a fulfillment of the present-day restoration of the Messianic Kingdom of Heaven on earth. You see, his answer was clear in that he was saying to them, You are not destined to experience this gathering of the Kingdom of Heaven on earth right now. First, he says, When you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then go out and get started with your divine work. So when the times and the divine appointments arrive, they will most assuredly arrive on time and according to a very specific divine schedule. But in the meantime, he's telling them, get to work and go about your Father's business. He was then received by a cloud of angelic witnesses and then taken up out of their sight. The date and time when that event took place in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, was specifically the fifth day of the week on what today's culture would call a Thursday, which was in Hebrew reckoning the 28th day of the second Hebrew month. But that was an important day. Again, the 28th day of the second Hebrew month when his ascension took place in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Why is that so important? Because that 28th day of the second Hebrew month, what we would call a Thursday in today's parlance, that was also the 33rd day of the 50-day count of the Omer, which began for them on day one of the Omer, beginning with the 26th day of the first Hebrew month. So you see, on the 33rd day of the Omer, referred to by Orthodox Judaism in modern day Israel. Yes, the Israel of today. It is called Lag BaOmer. Again, Lag BaOmer. That is the narrative that the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9, is referring to. And Yeshua's ascension back to the right hand of the Father, that took place on the ascent of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, as it is written again in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. To confirm this in the most accurate manner that I can do, we must also connect this to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Follow along with me. Acts 1, 3. He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This reference to Yeshua's post-resurrection ministry call to repentance, which totals 40 days, it actually begins on the day after his Sabbath resurrection, on the 18th day of the first month. Then, beginning with the 19th day of the first month, that is, the day after his resurrection, after the sun came up on what today's culture calls Sunday, when he appeared at that time, just before the sunrise, he appeared to a few of the women in his ministry. And then after the sunrise and all through the rest of that day, that is the first day of the week, he appeared to a couple of men walking on the road to Emmaus. And then toward the evening hours, late in the day, he appeared to some of his disciples in an upper room. And then he continued appearing to many, many others all through the course of that 40-day period. Again, from the 19th of the first month until the 28th day of the second month. So it's a whole 40-day period that he's appearing to a lot of people and showing them that his resurrection was indeed real. But on that 28th day of the second month, as I said, that's also the 33rd day of the Omer, that is, a count of 33 days based on day one on the 26th day of the first month. Both House of Tzedok chronologies, they are overlapping between the 40 days of his appearances and the 33rd day of his ascension. They're both overlapping chronologies, and they both terminate on the very same exact day. So maybe I could say it just a bit differently in case you might find yourself just a bit confused with all these numbers I'm throwing at you. The 19th day of the first month after Yeshua's Sabbath resurrection, all the way to the 28th day of the second month, precisely equals 40 days. But then, the 26th day of the first month, which was called day one of the counting of the Omer, or the waving of the wave sheaf, going forward from that day to the 28th day of the second month. That is, in fact, the 33rd day of the Omer, called in Hebrew Lag BaOmer. Then, on the 33rd day of the Omer, again, it's the fifth day of the week, it's what we would call a Thursday, after Yeshua ascended to the right hand of the Father, it is just a simple matter to count an additional 17 days to Pentecost or Shavuot. You see, that's what Yeshua meant by saying, stay here in Jerusalem, because not many days from now, the Holy Spirit's going to be given to you. It was exactly 17 days later when that event was to take place. So this festival of Pentecost or Shavuot, it always falls out on the 15th day of the third Hebrew month, which will always be a first day of the week, or what today's culture calls a Sunday. And so this festival accurately corresponds also to the 50 days of the counting of the Omer and to the day after the seventh of seven Sabbaths, beginning that count with the second day of the second month, precisely as Leviticus 23:15 through 16 requires. And again, this is all according to the House of Tzedok priestly reckoning of festival times. Again, let's read that text for confirmation. And you shall count to yourselves from the morrow of the Sabbath, from the gathering in of your harvest. That's that cutting of a sheaf. It's an Omer, and that occurs on the 26th day of the first month. And you're to count seven Sabbaths complete. And when does that count begin? It begins with the second day of the second month. So it's a count of 50 days to the day after the counting of seven Sabbaths. And then Jehovah says, you will then offer a new grain offering to Jehovah. That is Shavuot or Pentecost. And keep in mind that that offering on what is called Pentecost or Shavuot is a first fruits offering. In Hebrew, this is called Bikurim. Well, if it's first fruits, then how could it possibly be barley? Because the first fruits is the first fruits of wheat. It can't be barley, because they're offering first fruits on Shavuot. And first fruits would indicate wheat. And this was a discussion that went on and on and on, over and over, back and forth, between all of the scholars of many, many generations past. Therefore, with Bikurim, or first fruits, which is the appointed day for all of us to remember Yeshua's resurrection as our first fruits offering of his resurrection, as a grain of wheat that sprouts up from the ground of Eretz Israel, precisely once again, as Yeshua said in John 12:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. On the 15th day of the third month in the Hebrew calendar, based on Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, that 15th day of the third month is referred to in Scripture as Shavuot. And on that day, we are to present to Jehovah two loaves of freshly baked bread, according to Leviticus 23:15 through 16. And why are we doing that? In order to remember our future hope of a promised third day resurrection in Yeshua. And this is exactly what the prophetic word of Hosea tells us in Hosea 6, 1 through 2. Come, let us return to Yehovah, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Precisely, this is what the prophecy of Moses spoke about in Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And so Kepha, or Peter, spoke to this in his own unique way, saying in 2 Peter 3, 8 or 9, But beloved, do not forget this one thing. With Yehovah, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yehovah is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. This is involving the resurrection, remember. But is loyal toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, this is the backstory to understand the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, as well as Luke 11, 29 through 30. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. That was a theme of repentance leading unto resurrection, the third day resurrection of Yeshua, and our third day resurrection based on a day is like 1,000 years. So you can see at this recording, I think we're real close, okay? So in summary, regarding the 50-day count of the Omer, the house of the Pharisaic separatist performed their wave sheaf offering of freshly cut grain on the 16th day of the first Chodesh, and their grain was barley. That day came to be called day one in the 50-day count of the Omer, again on the 16th. Referring to the first day of the festival of unleavened bread or the festival of matzah. Now, in summary, the house of Tzedok priests, they performed their wave sheaf of freshly cut grain, not on the 16th, no. They always did it on the 26th day of the first Chodesh or first month. And that day came to be called day one in the 50-day count of the Omer. So you see, in summary, the house of the Pharisaic separatists began their counting of 7 weeks on the first weekly Sabbath during the festival of unleavened bread, or what is called in Hebrew the festival of matzah. According to the house of Tzedok, that counting of the 7 weeks began after the festival of unleavened bread or the festival of matzah was over. And that counting began on the second day of the second month after the end of the festival of unleavened bread again, or what is called matzah. I hope this has been of some help to understand that this whole story of Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, it's all about the timing and the chronology according to the house of Tzedok. I am convinced. And on my next podcast, please join me for my closing talk in this rather lengthy series. I'm Avi Ben-Mordechai, and you're listening to Real Israel Talk Radio.